I'm going to discuss, it's a crash course on Gita. So Gita is, people read Gita, but it's difficult to understand. Many people start with Gita, but as soon as they start, they leave it. Concepts are complex, but once understood, they are simple and easy. So what I'm going to do today is, going to give you understanding how Gita flows from first chapter to 18th chapter, from first verse to 700th verse. There are 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita, and then you can get an idea how Krishna is developing a theme of Bhagavad Gita and leading to a conclusion. So there are many concepts woven together to lead us to some conclusion, and those things I'm going to talk today. But before that, what is Gita, first of all? Is it a book? No.
Way of life.
It's a manual for life. That's what we have to understand. We get manual for laptop, manual for TV, manual for cell phone, for car, manual life. And that was my question when I was studying medicine. I asked my HOD, you know, okay, as a doctor, we are actually dealing with life, you know, day in and day out. It's all life. But we didn't have definition of life. Nobody taught us. And we didn't have actually the manual how to lead a life, how to think. Is there any university offering a course how to think? There's no subject. And what is so most important to us? Thinking. Is there any university offering a subject on life? And what is so most intimate to us? Life. And that is why people are fighting. All problems in this world, 99% problems, let me say, it's due to, you know, people don't know how to think and how to express. And that's what Mahabharata was, no? One statement and Mahabharata. Andhega beta, andha. You know, blind person's son is blind. Mahabharata happened. So Gita is offering us a solution to all our problems by teaching us how to live, how to think, how to act, which we have to learn. So previously this was taught in moral classes, no? When you were a child, we had moral classes in school, but that's also out, you know. Now we have computers. We have machines instead of morals. And probably that's why we have become machines. We've lost human, you know, human side of humanity. That's what is happening. So Gita, but it's not just this. Gita is offering many other things. Once you learn how to lead your life, you also learn how to lead your life to a particular goal. And it is, Gita is offering you the purpose of life. Why we are here? These age-old questions. Why I am here? What I am supposed to do? Why God has sent me here? First of all, is there any God? Is there any soul? Are we this machine or body? What's happening? All these questions are given, answers are given by Gita. So, that's why I named it as Gita Crash Course, the essence of Gita. Okay, how many chapters are there in Gita? Anybody knows?
18.
Okay, 18 chapters. How many verses? I just told. 700 verses. Some people say 701, some people say 700. Just counting system is different. That's all. But 700 verses. And to put entire knowledge in 700 verses is very difficult. Because if you read Rig Veda, much of the Rig Veda is lost to us because of Mughals. And they burned Takshila and Nalanda University and things are lost. Whatever Rig Veda we have, that too, we have 1 crore verses. 1 crore is how much in? 1 million?
10 million.
10 million verses. You can imagine. You can't even possibly dream to read those. For that, you have to first of all learn Sanskrit. And not just school Sanskrit. It is Vedic Sanskrit. Vedic Sanskrit is different from school Sanskrit. School Sanskrit, you read maybe some kind of your kunjis. But if you want to learn Vedic Sanskrit, you learn first Panini, Laghu Siddhant Kaumudi, and then you go to Vedas, and then you learn that. It needs minimum 12 years to get hold of that, and then you learn Vedas, then you have to learn philosophy to decode Vedas. Then understand that philosophy, and then you can understand what's the conclusion. Who has got the time? Who has got the energy? So that is why Krishna spoke Gita. He knew we don't have time. So he summarized all that knowledge which was there in 1 crore verses of Rig Veda, 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam, 25,000 verses of Padma Puran, 1 lakh verses of Mahabharata, and there's on and on and on and on, and everything into 700 verses. That's, it takes a genius to do that, no? It takes God to do that. Nobody else. It's humanly impossible. So what is there in Gita? Let's start now. What is the first chapter? Now first chapter, the name of first chapter is Vishad Yoga in Sanskrit. That's the name, Vishad Yoga. Vishad means sorrow. Yoga means linking. Or in, if you read Bhagavad Gita as it is, the name of the first chapter is Observing the Armies. So what is happening? Arjuna is standing, Krishna is standing in middle of the armies. That's what, everybody has seen that, no? Yeah. Is it? Everybody can understand me? Behind also? Okay, everybody knows. Krishna, Arjuna is standing, and there are Pandavas and Kauravas. And both Krishna is observing the armies, Arjuna is observing armies, and also Duryodhana is also observing the armies, no? Everybody is observing armies. But the point is, everybody is observing from his own perspective. That's the point. And that is the problem. And there lies a solution also. So what Duryodhana is seeing Pandavas and Kauravas, and there are descriptions how Duryodhana is seeing Pandavas standing, Kauravas standing, Bhishma, Drona, Yudhishthira, everybody. And Duryodhana perceives danger. Is it? And he says, yes, this fight should happen. I have to kill them. They must be killed. That's Duryodhana's perception. His observation is like that. What is Arjuna's observation? Arjuna says, well, there are so many armies. I don't want to kill. Duryodhana wants to kill. Arjuna doesn't want to kill. Same setup, same environment, same people, same bodies, same mind. But observation is different. Thoughts are different. So Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. Duryodhana says, I want to fight. And what does Krishna say? Krishna says, Arjuna, you fight. But Krishna's observation and Arjuna's observations differ. And Duryodhana's observation differ. Duryodhana says, I want to fight. Krishna says, I want to fight. But they have total different entire understanding. Duryodhana wants to fight for his victory, for kingdom, for enviousness. Basically, Duryodhana wants to... Actually, Duryodhana even doesn't want kingdom. He wants to take revenge. Especially with Bhima. He was like... With Bhima, you know, he had problem. Since childhood, he was trying to kill Bhima. So, he had enviousness. He had problems. That's why Duryodhana told, you know, I'm not going to give you kingdom even the tip of...
Needle.
The needle. I'm not going to give you. Whatever you do, I don't like you. That's the point. I want to kill you. And Arjuna, and what Krishna happens? Why Krishna says, you have to fight? Why he says you have to fight? Before that, let's understand why Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. That's the question. Arjuna says, I don't want to fight. He gives many reasons. Krishna, I don't want to fight because you see, why unnecessarily do killing? By bloodshed. For our own kingdom, no? For our own enjoyment. We want kingdom. Why? Let's go in forest and meditate. That's what his idea was. Let's sit and peacefully stay. Let them take the kingdom. And Krishna says, no, Arjuna, you should fight. Krishna says, you should fight. Because if you don't fight, anyway, I'm going to kill them. And why? Because Prabhupada mentions in the purport, in the first chapter. Why? Because Krishna says, Arjuna, you remember Draupadi? And you remember Bhim? And you remember all of you? They tried to kill you? And I cannot forgive them. You can, but I cannot. Because devotees of Krishna, devotees of God, they are compassionate. They can forgive, no? But God doesn't forgive those who offend his devotees. That's why Krishna says, this is the main reason, Arjun, I want this fight to happen. I want to kill them. I want this to happen. Why? Because Krishna wants to express his love for his devotees. No? How do you express love? If somebody comes and abuses your parents, what do? You have to fight. So somebody may say, well, don't fight. No problem. No problem. No, but that's the problem. That is love. You express love by fighting. So this is not fight. This book is not telling you how to fight. This book is telling you how to love God. And that's a problem there. If people think it's telling you how to fight. No. Krishna tells Arjuna, I'm not asking you to fight. Try to understand. I'm asking you to express your love for me. And I will express my love for you. This book is teaching how to love God. This is not teaching how to fight. So Krishna says, Arjuna, even if you don't fight, I am going to kill everybody. But you should fight because it's my desire. What is love? To fulfill desire of somebody else, no? Is it? Husband, wife, what does husband, wife do? Wife tries to fulfill desire of husband. Husband tries to fulfill desires of wife. That is love. So Krishna says, Arjuna, it's my desire this should happen. You should do. That's how you will express your love for me. And I will express love for you by making this fight happen, by showing the word that anybody who does anything to my devotee, I will take a revenge. That's God. That's love. It's difficult to understand love. But the point is material desires bring miseries. That's the point here. What do you mean by material desires? Material desires means thinking of your own plans. Your own desires are material desires. Krishna's, God's desires are spiritual desires. So Duryodhan has his own plan, his own desire, and it will lead to suffering. Arjuna has his own plans, own desires, I will not fight. That will also lead to suffering. And Krishna has his desires, that is God's desire, that is spiritual desires. And we try to fulfill spiritual desires, we will be happy. That is the message of Bhagavad Gita. The aim of life is to fulfill desires of God, not our desires. It might be good or bad. Both things will lead to sufferings. So Arjuna's desires look pretty good, no? I don't want to fight. Why bloodshed? So many people die. It looks good. But Krishna says, no. Your plans are small. You are observing from a very limited perspective. You don't know what's future. You don't know what's past. Do you know what's the form of sound? No. I made creation. Krishna, God, he knows everything, past, present, future. His plans will be perfect, is it? If you make plan, everybody wants to make plan with some foresight, no? How much foresight we have? 100 years, 200 years, that's all. So that's why God's plans are perfect. And God's plans are known as spiritual desires. His desires. And if we can understand his plan and do that, we'll be happy. If we go according to our plan, if we lead our life according to our plan, that's manual of life, no? If we lead our life according to our plan, 100% we'll end up in sufferings. It might seem good to you, but it'll lead in wrong planning. Do you understand? But the point is to understand this thing and to do this thing, to fulfill desires of God, you should know who God is. You should know his desires. You should know who you are, first of all. And why should I fulfill his desires? Okay, it leads to sufferings, but maybe I can calculate my life and I can make myself happy. No, that's always there. Maybe I'll do everything perfectly. So to come to this platform, entire Gita is spoken. Now Krishna develops a logic. How to convince you that don't lead your life by your own plans. Don't do that. Because now it might be good, but afterwards it lead to sufferings. Yahi samsvija sukha dukha yonya evate. Every happiness in its womb has distress. That's the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, no? See, we heard that about Gita, everybody knows just two verses, no? Dharmasam sapna thaya. We heard, no? Sambhavami yogi yogi, that Mahabharat serial. Or maybe that karmanne vadeka raste ma phaleshu kadachan. That's it. But that's not what Gita is all about. There are many things in Gita and I'm going to show you now. Okay, so what is second chapter? Now Krishna develops his logic. Now you should be careful, you hear me, otherwise you'll miss the trail. Second chapter, Krishna immediately comes to knowledge of soul and not body. You know why? Because if anybody is distressed, you can't give him any instruction. You cannot do. He said, if a person is sad, you cannot instruct him. He's sad. He will not hear you. If in somebody's house somebody dies, and you go and tell them, well, you know, see, my plan is like this. He said, come on, I can't hear you. Somebody is dead in my house. I'm so sad. So that is why in scriptures it is said, don't advise four people. One, yeah, don't advise husband and wife. Don't come in their matter. You'll end up in problems. Let them fight. Don't say anything. Don't advise two brahmanas, two scholars. Don't come in between them. Because either of them you touch, you'll be in problem. Let them do whatever they want. Don't advise people who don't want advice. So don't advise until you're hired. Your advice will go waste. And don't advise a person who is distressed. Don't do that. He'll not listen to you. Probably he'll come back to you, you know. Why you're saying all these things and this. So Arjuna is depressed. We know, see, Arjuna is depressed. Krishna, I don't want to fight. I'm confused. Duryodhana wants to fight. He's depressed. So first job of Krishna as a good teacher. He's the best teacher, no? Vande Krishna Jagat Guru. He's the best teacher. As a teacher, he knows if he wants to give the science of soul, science of God to him, to lead to some conclusion of love of God, he needs to first get rid of depression. And that's why he begins with the concept of soul. Your soul, you're not this body. Krishna says, no, in Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter, na jayate mriyate va kadachin, soul doesn't die, is it? Soul cannot be wet, cannot... So many things you have heard. Body is temporary, soul is permanent, you are soul, you're not this body. And he tries to make Arjuna understand, Arjuna, in this battlefield, bodies are being killed. Nothing happens to soul. So cheer up. Don't worry. Do your duty. But it's fulfill my desires. Don't worry, people will die. Nobody's going to die here. Everybody's alive. Aise hi karte na hum log. When somebody dies, what we say? Chalo, kuch nahi hota. Wo agle jeevan mein achha swarg gaye honge nahi. We say, same thing Krishna is saying. Don't worry. Everybody's soul. But the point is, Krishna is helping us understand that just by mere knowledge of soul, you can be happy. This knowledge can make you happy. All problems are due to the fact we think we are body. Arjuna, why Arjuna is depressed? My grandfather will die. Bhishma, Duryodhana, all these people will die. Krishna says, see, they don't die. They are soul. Neither you die. Anyway, God doesn't die anyway. So, that Krishna gives knowledge of soul, which can help us relieve material desires and miseries. Now the question comes. You all know your soul, is it? At least theoretically?
Yeah.
At least theoretically, you know. Now you know your soul. Arjuna says, Krishna, is there any scientific evidence for that? Arjuna is a good student. He's not a dumb student, no? So, otherwise Krishna would have spoken Gita to some soldier, hey, come here. And he would have spoken and finished it off. He speaks to Arjuna. Arjuna is intelligent. So Arjuna says, Krishna, I want a logic. I can't see soul. Can you give a logic for that? Now Krishna gives a logic for that. Scientific logic. Krishna says, Arjun, you see, first Krishna says, Arjun, you don't need science to explain everything. You don't need that. It's a fallacy. You need common sense to explain some things, is it? Some things which can be explained by science can also be explained by common sense, of course. But some things which can be explained by common sense cannot be explained by science. Some things you can explain by common sense, but still it will be wrong. Some things are even beyond common sense. I'll give you an example. Now science can explain about laws of physics, is it? What, laptops, machines, electrons, photons, neutrons, action, reaction, laws of inertia, so many things, blah, blah, blah. But science cannot explain four things. Science cannot explain love, can it? Can you explain? Well, love, science, no. Can you say when two people kiss together, so can you explain what's happening scientifically? I can explain. When two people kiss together, the molecules come in contact. And there are some quantum phenomena going around. If you start explaining this, you lose all love. Come on, you know, get lost from there. You can't explain love by science. You can't explain beauty by science. It's beyond the realm of science. Science is dealing with logic. Beauty is beyond logic. Is it? If anybody is a musician here, you are a musician? Anybody musician? You ask any musician that when you play music, do you apply logic? First statement he'll say, forget your logic. If you apply logic, you'll not be able to play. You have to go with the flow, is it? To go with the feeling. Otherwise, you'll not be able to play good music. There is logic in music, but you don't apply when you play. Painters also. You have to go with feelings, no? So feelings are beyond scientific realm. There is no science dealing with feelings. In fact, that's what science is. Science says feelings are subjective. You don't have to deal with this. So love. And then, what about ethics? Science cannot explain ethics. Is it? What is right, what is bad? Can science tell you? Tell me, can science tell you? No. Science can tell you, do some experiment. By experiment, you don't learn what is right, what is bad. You don't do that. So morals. Science has no questions. And science cannot explain science. You can't explain science by science. You can't use same thing to explain the same thing, no? Scientific laws, you have to accept. Why gravity is like that? It's like that. Why gravity attracts? It attracts. That's observation. That's not explanation, no? Is it? So there are many things. That's what Krishna begins his Gita with. Arjun, that's why Krishna never gives scientific evidence in Gita. He doesn't give. He gives common sense evidence. You see, some things are common sense. Some things are even beyond common sense. By common sense, you might think, oh yeah, so there was one, you know this Africa, there are so many wars happening in Africa always, even now, you know, Uganda and all these, they're like a tensed area. So this America wanted to give aids to Africa, you know, to stop the war. So people have food, they'll stop the war, because people were fighting for food. But what happened was, America started giving AIDS. This happened just recently. America started giving AIDS. It was common sense. People are fighting for food. Give them food. War stops. Is it? That's a good thing, no? It makes sense. America gave aid, food aid, and the war extended for 10 years more. Because once they had food, they had energy, and now they thought, my God, now we'll take revenge. And they were fighting more. It was a wrong decision. But a common sense, it seemed, you know, it's good. But it doesn't. Some things are even beyond common sense. You can't understand those things. That's what Krishna says, Pratekshvagamam dharmayam. Some things are beyond common sense. Existence of soul, it is within common sense. Existence of God, some common sense, some you have to perceive by meditation. Existence of love of God, no common sense. You have to realize it. You have to follow this knowledge, realize it, you will understand it. You understand? So, but nevertheless, Arjuna asks, Krishna, anyway, well, okay, give me logic. I'm not this soul, I'm body. Krishna gives two logic. Simple logic. Krishna says, see, Arjun, your body is changing every second, is it? Your body is changing every second, actually. Your blood cells, how much life they have? How much life? 120 days, that's all. Liver cells, 5 years. Skin cells, some time. After some time, every cell dies. There's a clock in our body for every cell. And bone cells, they have their age. Neurons, you know neurons? Brain cells, they have their age. After 7 years, all your neurons will die. Every second, 10,000 neurons die. Your brain becomes less every second. You're becoming brainless every second. But anyway, they regenerate. But they die, first of all. They die and they regenerate. So 10,000 is too much, you know. Neurons die. So after 7 years, every cell changes in your body. That is one scientist, Albert Schweitzer. He did a research and he said, okay, fine. And that's what scripture says. After every 7 years, your body is completely new set. But you are the same, no? Is it? Are you the same or different? After every 7 years, do you question yourself? Who am I? No. My name, who is this person? No, you don't question. You are same after 7 years, after 14 years, 15 years. Even when you become old, you feel young. Is it? You feel young, although your body is old. Why do you feel young? That's the question raised by Bhagavad Gita. Why do you feel young? Arjun, you see? If you think you are old, but still you will feel young. Why? Because soul is always young. Soul never becomes old. That's why we have the feeling of young. Although body is old. So Krishna says, apply common sense, Arjun. You're fool. Krishna actually criticizes Arjuna. Krishna says, Klebhyam asmagama partha naitat eva upapadyate. Arjun, you are coward. He says that you're coward. And Upanishad says, person who doesn't realize himself as soul and not body, he's a coward. He's a miser. He has not used his life to understand truth. He's doing everything. But what about himself? If you ask somebody, who are you? He'll say, well, okay, fine. I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. Okay, who are you? What's your name? I forgot that. But rest, I know. What do you call such a person? Tell me. What do you call such a person? I want to hear from you all. Any answers?
Lost.
Huh?
Lost.
What do you call such a person?
Who is?
Yeah. I didn't want to say. He said it.
What did you say?
Pagal. I didn't say that. But this is a good answer. Nunam pramatta kurute vikrama. He's mad. Who are you? I don't know. But I know how to earn money. He's mad. Is it? You'll call him mad. Are we mad, all of us? Maybe. We don't know who are we. But yet we are earning money. We are earning so many things. This Krishna Gita is giving you insight in your life. See? Good insight. This good insight. You can still change your life. It's never too late. But you should have knowledge. That's all. Everything changes in 40 minutes. This 40 minutes, I'm going to change your life. If you try to understand. If you don't, you can still continue like that. That's the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna says, okay, that Krishna supplies one logic, common sense logic. There's another logic Krishna gives in second chapter. He says, Arjun, okay, I'll give you another logic. It's simple. Okay, I gave that logic there. Everybody sleeps? Everybody sleeps here, no?
Yeah.
I guess so. So, fine. So you sleep. In sleep you forget everything, is it?
Yeah.
How do you forget yourself? Tell me. Is it possible to forget yourself? Can you forget yourself now? You close your eyes, try to forget yourself. It's not possible, no? It's impossible. No matter what type of meditation you do, no matter what you do, you can't forget yourself. You can forget your body. You can be conscious about yourself, but in sleep you are unconscious. You even forget yourself. Your existence you forget, is it? You're practically dead. After 6 hours you get up. If you don't have dreams, you're dead. After 6 hours, oh. So when you're sleeping, you forget your bed, you forget your house, you forget yourself, you forget all reality. Everything. How do you forget? There's no scientific explanation for that. You cannot forget yourself. This shows there's some power which is making you forget. Because nobody wants to forget himself. Do you want to forget yourself? Nobody. It's a very frightening proposal, no? You'll forget yourself. People who have amnesia. You know amnesia? They lose a memory. It's a very frightening situation. People are messed up. People frustrated. But sleep, every day you have an evidence there is a higher power. There's a power acting on you, which is making you forget yourself in spite of you not wanting it. Krishna gives next logic. So there's something beyond us, no? So he gives logic of soul and super soul. There's some divine thing. And the fact you forget yourself, this means you're not this body, first of all. You're something else. But that something else is also dependent on something else. That's super soul and soul. Krishna gives a slight knowledge of super soul here. Got my point? Is it clear, all of you? The second chapter is scientific explanation of soul. Now the point is, here's a point. Now you have got the knowledge, common sense, understood it. Have you realized it? That's the point here. You have not realized. Now what's the difference between realization and knowledge? Now I'll give you an example. If I tell you that a lion will come in this room, what you will do? You will run? Or maybe some macho man, he'll say, no, well, we'll fight with him. Is it? Or probably you can make a plan, you know. If a lion comes, one person will be there, he'll have gun, he will have gun, and we'll shoot with him. And when he runs here, we'll go behind and catch him and finish it off. Okay? But when real lion comes, then what will happen? It'll not move. Your finger will not move. You'll not move. You freeze. So that is realization, no? All these cops, police cops, they are given training to shoot. But you know, many of the cops, if you ask police people, when they faced real enemy, they freeze. New cops. The hand freezes. It freezes. And many of them are killed like that. They can't shoot, and the other side shoots. So realization is very different from knowledge. You might know knowledge, you might have knowledge, but to act on that knowledge is realization. So we know we are not this body, but we are acting at level of body. You understand? And how can we say you are acting at level of body? Because you are doing everything for body. Is it? All money, all time is for this machine. It's not bad to take care of this machine, but to invest all your energy, all your time on this, that is bad. That is modern civilization, no? Before 20 years, at least in India, we didn't have gymnasiums, we didn't have beauty parlors much. I never saw when I was a child. Now you go, every 5 meters there's a gym. Is it? Every 5 meters there's a beauty parlor. Now we don't say that's bad, but this is not either good, because this shows that people are too much body conscious. And this is not good. Too much body conscious is not good. Some you have to be. You need to keep your body good. But every time thinking of body, that's bad, because people don't have knowledge of soul. That's the point. And that is the problem, all root of all problems. If you know, if you think you are this body, you're not this soul, you don't know they have this knowledge, problem begins from that fact. And we should observe this problem. So we don't have realization. So what to do? How to get realization that we are soul, we are not this body? Now Krishna begins his talk. What is third chapter? Can anybody tell me? What is the name of third chapter? Oh yeah, Karma Yoga. So, Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga? Now, Karma Yoga doesn't mean you should do your duty perfectly. That's wrong. That is not that I'm earning nicely, I'm taking care of my family, and I don't speak lies, I don't do violence. It is Karma Yoga. No, that's wrong. That is karma. Karma means action. That is ordinary action. Karma Yoga means, linking your action with divine, with God. That is Karma Yoga. So whatever people are doing, they are doing karma. But Krishna has not come here to teach karma, that anyway you will do. You don't have to learn that. Krishna has come to teach Karma Yoga, linking your actions with God. Krishna begins, if you want to understand, if you want to have realization of soul, not just knowledge, you should link your actions with me, because by my power you will be able to understand you are not this body or soul. Just like in sleep, by power of super soul you forget yourself, which is almost impossible. By power of God, by power of Krishna, you will be able to understand you are not this body or soul, even when you are moving, even when you are working everything, you know. So like for example, we all wear shirt, no? Daily. Have you ever become confused you are this shirt?
No.
Anybody? Maybe someday. My God, I am this shirt. New realization. It never happens. 24 hours you wear your shirt, but you never become confused. Similarly, a self-realized person, he knows this body is a shirt. He doesn't become confused. At level of knowledge, you become confused. At level of realization, you don't become confused. You are wearing this shirt, you are living in this machine, you are walking, This machine is important, but more important is you. You see, that is karma yoga, and that is why Krishna says karma yoga means acting for God, and that is called service. Karma yoga is service to God. Karma yoga means do not act only for body, act also for soul. That is karma yoga. Karma yoga has both actions, acting for body. What is action for body? Food, roti, kapda, makan. You understand? Everybody understand Hindi or what?
Hindi.
Okay, Hindi, Hindu. So that's karma. Okay, you have to take care of body. But what about soul? What is food of soul? Nobody knows. And we are missing that. And that is karma yoga. Food of soul is the names of God. That's what scripture says. Soul wants to chant the glories of super soul, God. And that makes it happy. Just like food nourishes body, holy names of God nourishes soul. That is karma yoga. That is action. That is service to God. That is why we chant Hare Krishna. That is, you are giving nourishment to soul. That is karma yoga. Karma yoga, you see, I'll tell you one thing. In school you read theory and practical, is it? Is it? Everybody read theory and practical? So you do practical where? Laboratory? Why do you do that? Why do you go to laboratory? Isn't theoretical classes enough? Because if you don't go to laboratory, you don't have experienced knowledge. You don't apply that knowledge practically, is it? So this word is a big laboratory. For fools, this word is place of enjoyment. But for wise people who know karma yoga, this word is a big lab. And Gita is a theoretical book. It will provide you knowledge. With that knowledge, you act in this world, and then you get realizations. You see, this, it's an entire different observation, different perception we have of this entire world. And perception makes a difference, no? So suppose a female comes here and there's a child, there's an adult, and her parents are sitting. They all three will see the same female but have different understanding, different feelings, is it? A child will see that female, a beautiful female. For him or her, she's auntie. An adult will see that same female with lust. And parents will see the same female with the feelings of parent alone. So don't think that knowledge doesn't help. Knowledge will make you see this world in an entire different way. And that will give you different experiences, different feelings, different thoughts. And what are we? We are feelings and thoughts. That's what Gita was all about. How to think. I started with that. Manual of life. It's teaching you how to think, how to feel, and how to behave. Thinking and feeling will lead to actions. So that is third chapter, Karma Yoga, okay. And the fourth chapter is Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga means when you serve God, slowly you get realizations that you are soul. I told you, by mercy of God, you get realization, you are soul, you are not this body. That is Jnana. Jnana means realizations and not just knowledge. Knowledge without realizations is useless, no? You have so much information, but you don't know how to apply that. He's a fool. You have less information, but you know how to apply. He's intelligent, no? So, Jnana Yoga, fourth chapter will give you realization that what is soul? You get a realization. That is Jnana Yoga. And then fifth chapter is action in Krishna consciousness. Now, Krishna is developing a theme. Now, some people take knowledge. Some people only attend theory class. Some people only attend laboratory class. If you want wisdom, what do you have to do? Combine both. So you have to do karma yoga and jnana yoga together to get proper experience. So not just knowledge in this class, but you have to act on that knowledge in your home also. Generally people don't do like that, no? People hear so many spiritual leaders, people understand, but in home they are doing whatever they want. Then you don't learn anything. You have to act on that platform. That's fifth chapter. Action in Krishna consciousness. Combine karma yoga and jnana yoga to get realizations that you are soul, you are not this body. That's fifth chapter. Simple living, high thinking. You have heard this? Perform service with the knowledge of soul. When you come to temple, You might be doing so many things. You might be having darshan of God. But you have to acknowledge. Or you have to think when you come in front of God. Why you have to come here? Who is God? All these things you should know, is it? Otherwise it's just ritual. You are ritualistic. It's just blind faith. That is why modern youths are not coming to devotion, is it? They are saying, Mummy, aap are superstitious. They are going to temple without any reason. Things are dying. And that's why I told, Gita is very scientific. Krishna says, you should know what you do. But more than that, you should know why you do what you do. Otherwise, it will become all simple ritualistic formulas. And everybody will lose faith. Okay, sixth chapter is, what sixth chapter? Anybody, devotees? Yeah, Dhyana Yoga. So Krishna says, okay, fine, you take this knowledge, you get realizations, but be attentive. Dhyana Yoga means, Dhyana means attentive. Link your attention to me. Don't be inattentive. How to be attentive? You have to be with spiritual people, no? If you are with people who are not spiritual, always, then what happens? You lose attention, no? They'll talk so many other things. They'll divert your attention. So if you want to understand this knowledge, you have to keep company of those people who have this knowledge, who are practicing this knowledge. It's everywhere it's like that, no?
Yeah.
Everywhere, all fields like that. So it happens here also. So Krishna says, change your association. Come with wise people. If you are with fools, you'll become fool. If you are with wise people, you become wise. And that will help you to become attentive. Just like this program. You know? This program, what is happening? You are becoming attentive. No, attentive means you are understanding now things, you know, because you are in association, good association, you have knowledge of Gita. That's sixth chapter. And now seventh chapter, Krishna little twists the story. And Krishna says, okay, fine. What is the name of seventh chapter? The name of seventh chapter is knowledge of absolute truth. And Krishna says, okay, now you have understood, you have to realize your soul and not this body by serving God, by serving me. Krishna is God. But now you should have knowledge of God, is it? Now who is God? I told you have to serve God and then you can understand your soul, you're not this body. But who is God? That's a question. So Krishna begins this topic from 7th chapter. 7th chapter is next turning point of Gita. Knowledge of God. Who is God? And Krishna says in 7th chapter, I am God. He declares, I am God. There is none above me, none equal to me. He says about himself, I am everywhere, but I am still nowhere. He says, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagat rektam murtina. Matsthani sarva bhutani na cha met avasthitam. I am everywhere, still I am nowhere. I control everything, still I am independent. Krishna says, Arjuna, look at my powers. So Krishna is God. He gives association of God, himself. He gives knowledge of himself. Why? So that we can come to the point of serving him. We have to serve him. So if to serve him, then you should know him. Otherwise, you don't feel like serving anybody, you know, whom you don't know. You have to know him, you know. So, okay, 7th chapter. And 8th chapter is attaining the Supreme. When you know God, you develop a desire to attain him. When you know Krishna, then you develop a desire to attain him. It's normal, no? A boy and girl meets, first they know themselves, each other. And when they know each other, after some time what they say? Okay, let's marry. I want you. She says, I want you. I can't live without you. And this is what happens. When you start knowing God in association of devotees, when you start understanding, I am soul, I am not this body. My function is to serve him. And slowly you develop attachment to him. And then you develop a desire to attain him. That's 8th chapter. Desire to attain God. From this point, human life begins. Before this point, it is animal life. Are you understanding what I am saying?
Yeah.
So, what do you think? People in the world are animals or humans? What do you say? I can't hear.
Animals.
Yes. What about others? What do you say? So, yeah, that's what scripture says. People are like animals because they don't have desire to meet God. That sublime divine desire that has to be in your soul. Otherwise, you're like animal, no?
Yeah.
Animal doesn't have that. That sublime thought, I have to connect with divine. Animal cannot do that. Can't come in him. And that's what 8th chapter, now 8th chapter you're human. So Gita is not a book. Gita is stages of your life. 18 chapter, 18 stages. So probably most of the people are not even at the second chapter. No knowledge of soul. Stage 2 also they have not crossed. Stage 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and you come to stage 8, then you become human. That's the point Gita is talking about. And then you have to go beyond human. That Krishna will talk now. So that somehow you have to get that desire by following the process and earn God's grace. So 9th chapter is now, what is the name of 9th chapter? Anybody? Devotees? Was that most confidential knowledge? Most confidential knowledge. Raj Vidya Raj Guhyam, Guhya Gyan. So now Krishna gives the most confidential knowledge in 9th chapter. When you develop a desire to attain me, what that will lead to? Love. That's love, no? 100% desire to attain anybody's love. Is it? I fall in love. Then what happens? I can't remain without him. So that is the goal of life. That is the purpose of life. Fall in love with God. Simple. Because when you love God, God loves you. If you don't love him, he will not love you. Nevertheless, he'll take care of you. Mercy and love are two different things, is it? So many people say, yes, God will take care of us. Yes, he will take care, but he doesn't love you. Because you have to love him too, so that he loves you. He is merciful. He is taking care of everybody. But love is different, no? Just like a king takes care of all his subjects, is it?
Yeah.
But what about his family? He takes care of his family or he loves his family?
Both.
Yes. His family is little special to him, no? He loves them. He doesn't love all his subjects as he loves his family. He takes care of them, but he loves his family. Why? Because his family loves him. Reciprocal, no? So that's what Krishna says. If you love me, I'll love you. Love is beyond mercy. Much beyond mercy. People of this world, they just have this concept of mercy. Krishna in Gita is taking you beyond this concept of mercy. People of this world, they have the concept of morality. Krishna is lifting you beyond morality. There's something beyond good and bad also. Something love is there, and love automatically includes mercy.
Love is unconditional, right?
Yeah, love is that's what. So if you love God, you automatically become good, is it?
Yeah.
You can't be connected to God and be stupid. That's impossible. Yeah. And if you love God, automatically you become compassionate and merciful. That's all good qualities will come into you. But if you try to bring good qualities without loving God, it's not possible. It's not possible. You lose that. So that's what is most confidential knowledge. The goal of life should be to love him. So nine chapter. Nine chapter Gita is finished. Finished. So what about other chapters? Is the Gita finished now? No, there are 18 chapters. No, we are just half of the Gita. What Krishna is going to talk about next things. There are many things to talk about. But you've got the idea what is the nine chapter all about. But 10 chapter is... What's the name of 10th chapter? No, Vibhuti Yog. Yeah, opulences of the absolute. That's in English, Vibhuti Yog. So now, 10th chapter, when you love him, he will reveal to you, who am I? No. If you love somebody, if you love your girlfriend, then she will tell herself about herself no more. Okay, I am this, I like this. Before that, okay, you know, make a distance. You know. So that if you love Krishna, he will start revealing his glories to you. He will, in your heart, you will get convinced. In holy name, he will reveal himself. When you chant his name, he will reveal his secrets to you. And you get convinced that He is God. There is none other than Him, Krishna. He is supreme. And everything is under His control. So that's when He will reveal His power to you. And you will realize that sun and moon are the eyes of God. The light of sun and moon comes from the light of body of Krishna. The chirping of birds, the sweet voice in the birds is fraction, this is a 0.0001 fraction of the sweet voice of God. You will become God conscious. The blowing of wind is the breath of God, and you'll be able to feel that. You'll become that's something secret, no? You can't just get this by theoretical knowledge. It's not possible. You have to be conscious of that. When you're walking, you're talking, you're seeing. When you see something, it's not that you see something, because God sees first. That's why you are able to see it. Otherwise, you can't see anything. No. Just like your eyes are okay, everything is okay. If there's no light, can you see anything? No. Can you? With the help of sun, you can see. First the sun will see and then you see. So that is God conscious. God conscious is not a small thing. Nevertheless, it's not even a big thing. God consciousness you can attain if you have proper knowledge, proper process. Then it's easy. If you don't have proper process, it's very difficult. If I ask you to make halwa, how do you make? I tell you, okay, take sugar, take suji, take water. Is it? Mix them, make halwa. Will you be able to make it? You should know what the proportions are, no? And how much time you have to give. You'll make a mess. Instead of halwa, you'll make I don't know what you'll make, but you'll make something. So if you don't know the process, you can try for millions of lives. You don't end up anything. If you know the process, 5 minutes, halwa is ready. Similarly, if you know Gita properly, then you know what you have to do. Why you have to do? And you can attain God. Prabhupada used to say, that how much time it takes to realize God. In one lifetime, you can realize God 50 times, Prabhupada said. But for common man, it seems difficult, because no knowledge. Their own ideas, that's what I was talking about, our own ideas about a life. We have a presumption that whatever I think, that's correct. You see, it's a big illogical thing. Is it? We all lead life like that? Whatever I think, it's bound to be correct. Why? Can't you be wrong? Why this axiomatic presumption in your life? Whatever I think, it's correct. Why is people think just the opposite? Whatever I think should be wrong. Because my thinking is small. I need some guidance. Is it? That's a wise man. Foolish man doesn't think like that. He thinks just the opposite. So God reveals His supreme power. In 11th chapter, Arjuna says, Krishna, anyway, you are saying you are supreme. Is there any evidence? People talk of evidence. 11th chapter, Krishna shows universal form. You want evidence? Okay, I am God. See. He gives evidence. I am God. And He shows His universal form. All demigods, sun god, moon god, Brahmaji, all are there in universal form of God. He says, everybody is under my control. I know everybody, nobody knows me. What's that verse? 10th chapter, 2nd verse. Anybody knows? 10th chapter, 2nd verse. It's a beautiful verse. Krishna says, what's that? No. What's that verse? Anyway, Krishna says in that verse that all rishis, all big demigods, they're confused about my knowledge. They don't know me, but I know them. So Krishna knows you, but you don't know Him. He knows everything. He knows you much better than you know yourself. That's what He is. He's inside you, no? He's inside you. But we can't see. It's such a big illusion. We can't see ourselves and we can't see God inside us. It's such a big illusion, and we are searching outside. That is the knowledge of God. That is our knowledge of scriptures, Vedic scriptures, no? Which we have left in India. India is glorious, no? Is it? It has to be glorious. Our knowledge is glorious. And we have forgotten that. Everything we have forgotten. And that's where all problems are beginning. Because before you are scientist, before you are rich man, before you are poor man, before you are whatever you are, first of all, you have to know who you are. Is it? First of all, you have to be a human. And human, I told you, who is a human? Who has that sublime desire to know God. That chapter, what's that chapter? Chapter 8. Before that, so many things are there. It's a preparatory stage now. So 10th, 11th chapter, supreme power, he shows. 12th chapter, Krishna says, Arjuna, I am not only powerful, I am also sweet. So that is, 12th chapter name is what? Bhakti Yoga. Now that's the name. Devotional service. So, you don't really love somebody who is powerful. You love somebody who is sweet, is it? Powerful person you fear. But sweet person you love. So the idea of Bhagavad Gita is to make you love, fall in love with God. And that's why he develops this theme. Serve me, understand yourself, and perfect your life. And who am I? I'm not only powerful dictator. I'm powerful. I control everything. But I'm not a tyrant. I'm merciful. And more than that, I'm sweet. And once he gives this knowledge of his sweetness, automatically you want to know him. You want to love him now. You want to serve him automatically. So one who knows God, he can't help serving him. One who says he knows God but doesn't serve him, this means he doesn't know him. It's impossible to do that. Suppose if Amitabh Bachchan comes here, what happens? He will leave this lecture, I know. Everybody. Oh, he autograph. Because it's automatic. He's famous and he's whatever, you know. So that's with God. God is extremely powerful, extremely sweet, all good qualities. If you know him, it's impossible to love him and serve him. That's what Gita says, Krishna says. You simply try to know me in association of devotees. By reading Gita, you can know him. Okay, so Gita finished, 12th chapter. You know everything about God. You know you are not body, you are soul. You know Krishna is God. You have to love him. That's the purpose of life. Finished? No. You are living where? You're living in Dallas, in this material world, and there are problems, no? It's not easy to practice spirituality in this age, is it? And that's what is 13th chapter all about. 13th and 14th chapter, Krishna is saying, yes, you will practice everything what I said, but there will be obstacles. I should warn you. Every process has some problems, no? Is it? Anything you do, there are problems. So Krishna is giving you foresight. Yes, there are problems. There are two problems. One is from inside you. One is outside you. 13th chapter name is nature, enjoyer, consciousness. 14th chapter name is modes of material nature. 13th chapter is saying one problem is inside you which will not let you practice spirituality. Which will not let you serve God. Not let you love him. Not let you come to temple. And that problem is your own enjoying. You want to enjoy without God. That's the problem. So that will not allow you to come to temple. Is it? So there's so many people not come. Why? Because they don't feel the need of this, no? Why do you need this? Okay. There are more important things. And that's the problem. We are our own enemy now. We don't get interest in all these things. So if there was a DJ party here, everybody of you would be jumping, you know. But now it's little boring or what? Is it? little bit. If there was a movie, no problems. You are so interested. So, I'm not saying movie is not interesting. But the point is, we have a disease. We want to enjoy without Krishna. Without God. That's a problem with us. And that's why we don't choose options which are leading us to God. We choose options which are not leading us to God. That's problem within us. If you chant God's name, your mind will go run here and there. Is it? You try doing that. Hare Krishna. Your mind will go here and there. When you come to temple, no problem. You can come, you can roam in the park, you can go to temple, have darshan, eat prasad. I'm fine. You are not fine. You are diseased. And we can prove you are diseased. If you start chanting his names, your mind will not be able to fix on him. You see? If cancer is in first stage, you don't come to know. Is it? You know cancer, no? First, second, third, fourth, fourth stage. Third stage, probably you may be diagnosed, okay, there's a cancer. First stage, it misses. Second stage, it misses. Third stage, you can diagnose it. So we are all diseased. We are having a cancer. You not come to know. It's just first stage, second stage. It's difficult. It's there inside you. And you don't come to know. You think everything is all right. And Krishna says, no, there's an enemy in you, which will not allow you to chant his name. And that is, you see all rishis, what they were doing. All devotees. They could chant holy name 24 hours. Is it? You see, meditation, they were there in meditation, sitting.
Yeah.
All movie, you see in movies. How they can sit in one place, close their eyes, meditate on God.
I have a question for you.
No, afterwards. Okay. Afterwards. Let me finish. I'll lose the trail. So, why they can do, why we can't do, there's some problem. The problem is, our mind doesn't fix on God. Why doesn't it fix on God? Question is why? Because we have this problem. We want to enjoy without Him. Krishna says, enjoy with me. You enjoy with me. Why do you want? Don't stop enjoying. Enjoy with me. Chant my names. There's extreme enjoyment. Hear my topics. Hear about me. You will feel happy. That's what we are supposed to do. But Krishna diagnoses. And the second problem is external problem. 14th chapter, modes of nature. Problems from outside. Society, our friends, people who are with. And they will say, come on, this is not the age to do devotion. Later you can do. Is it? They say. And they say, okay, fine. You know, you're chanting names. Which age you have gone? You know, you have become dada dadi. You know what they used to do. This is like, people have their logics. And they'll try to confuse us. And we'll get confused if we don't have knowledge. So, how to get rid of all these obstacles? 15th chapter, Yoga of... What's 15th chapter? Yoga of Supreme? Yoga of Supreme. Purushottam Yoga. Yoga of Supreme. How to get rid of obstacles? Accept guidance. There is internal problem, there is external problem. Our mind is disturbed. Outside everything is disturbed. We are totally disturbed. How you should practice spirituality in this disturbance? That's the point. Without getting disturbed by disturbance. Like a lotus flower on the pond. Is it? It doesn't become wet. It is there, yet it is there in the pond. So how to do that? You have to accept guidance. Don't think that you can make it by yourself. It's impossible. Everybody needs a teacher. In any field. Even medicine I did, and it took me 5 years to learn medicine, and you need teacher. I could have read myself books, you know. Davidson, Love and Valian, but you can't make it just by reading books, no? So you need a teacher. It is wise to accept the fact I need guidance. And find a guidance. Find a good guidance. And there are people who can guide you. There may be bad people. There may be cheaters also. Now there are so many fake people also. They are there, but it doesn't prove, it doesn't show that there are no good people. Bad people are always there, no? In medical field also it's like that. There are so many kidney rackets. This is happening. So many people are doing just heart surgery just like that. I'm in the field, I know. So things are wrong, but doesn't mean medical science is wrong. People can be wrong. Science cannot be wrong. This is a science. If you apply, your life becomes perfect. So accept guidance. Accept guidance by scriptures, by saints, by a teacher. You have to get a teacher. You know why? Why you need a teacher? Because you can read books in your home. You can see TV. Ask them whatever you want. But the point is, those books and TV cannot do one thing. You know this?
Answer questions?
No.
Key.
They can't pull the ears. The point is, we need some kind of... No. We need that. To learn, we need. We have our own ideas. We don't want to leave that. So Guru will say, teacher will say, no, you're wrong. And then he'll say, oh, yeah, I understand. Otherwise, you'll end up doing... You will read a book, and you will take those portions which you like, and leave those portions which you don't like. That's going to happen. That is why... Traditional Indian, traditionally, everybody accepted a guru. Is it? They were trained in Gurukul. So that we can learn things. Otherwise, you can't learn things by yourself. So there's a need. That is why Shastra says, tad vijnanartham sa guru eva vikachet. Go to a teacher, find a teacher will not come to you. You have to find. Okay, what is 16th chapter? Now the point is, you are practicing spirituality, you are understanding Gita, you are applying the process, you are chanting the names of God, you are trying to understand Krishna. But how do we know whether we are advancing or not? Is it? You should know your advancement. You should know whether you are progressing or going back. Aisa to nahi hai ki just ghanti baj rahi hai, kuch nahi ho raha. So this is a science, no? So Krishna says, 16th chapter, 17th chapter, he gives symptoms of advancement. If you are advancing, what's going to happen? If you're advancing, 16th chapter says, all good qualities will come in you. The divine and the demoniac. That is the name of 16th chapter. Devi Asuri Sampada, Yog. So bad qualities will go, good qualities will come. Bad qualities means lust, anger, greed, all these enviousness, unnecessary, illogical qualities. And good qualities, Satyam, Saucham, Daya, Satya, Arjavam, Ahimsa, non-violence, and speaking truth, cleanliness, simplicity, generosity, there's a whole list. So 16th chapter, Krishna provides a list, checklist. If you're advancing, you check yourself whether these qualities are coming or not. If you're not advancing, then this means all bad qualities are there with you. And that is a definition of religion. Gita is a universal book. It gives a definition of religion. You know what's the definition of religion, what Gita gives? Gita gives religion, true religion is that which can change your nature. Svabhav adhyatma uchyate. Beautiful definition. Gita doesn't say you're Hindu, Christian, Muslim. It doesn't say that. True religion is that which can change your nature. If your nature doesn't change, you might be following anything. It is not true. You're same. Simple. In India, it's like that. Puja karte hain, wo haan kar diya, ye kar diya, wo kar diya. He is same person. No change, no good qualities. What's the point of doing anything? Why are you doing? How do you want to waste time? Do something with no result. So Krishna gives 16th chapter, good qualities. And 17th chapter is divisions of faith. Shraddha Treyo Vibhag, Yog. And Krishna says, next symptom of person who is advancing on this path is he get determined. Determination. And determination is judged by knowledge. Is it? A person who is determined in his field, he is doing. If you ask him, he'll just explain everything. If you don't have knowledge, you don't become determined, no? If I tell you, fine, from Dallas you have to go to Houston, but you don't have your GPS. No map. So come on, you know. How I'm supposed to go? I can drive, but I don't know where to go. You will have doubts in yourself, no? If you have map, if you have GPS, everything, I will determine. Eh? I'm going because you have knowledge. So knowledge, 17th chapter Krishna says, if you are advancing on spiritual path, you will have knowledge. And how do you judge knowledge of anybody? By talking, no? So it is said in English, fool is not known until unless he
speaks.
That's the point. So you can know. Who is advancing on this path? You just talk to him, you can know. By his words. By his. So there are two symptoms. First is good quality. Second is automatically you'll start understanding knowledge. And you can explain things. And you know things. What you are doing, why you are doing. You don't get confused. Determination. 16, 17. What is 18th chapter? Last. Now, and the name of 18th chapter is, what's the name? Anybody?
Contents of Gita summarized.
Yeah, contents of Gita summarized. Actually, in 18th chapter is talking about difference between renunciation and Tyag and Sannyas. So 18th chapter Krishna says, fine, he summarizes and he says, see Arjun, the aim of human life is to understand and serve God, and that is Krishna. And when you understand and serve Him, slowly you'll develop desire to attain Him and you'll have love for Him. And the moment you develop love for Him, your life is perfect. And then after this life, you go back to Him. Simple. It's simple. And while you live, you become happy, you make others happy. Is it? If you're happy, you make others happy. If you're satisfied, you give satisfaction to others. So spirituality, Krishna says, you get answers to these questions. Who are you? Who is God? And he says, don't renounce objects, renounce your stupid desires. That's where I started. Arjuna has his own desires, own plans. Duryodhana has his own plans. Krishna says, I have my plan. Now tell, what do you want to choose? You want to choose your plans for your life? Bad plans like Duryodhana? Or you want to choose good plans like Arjuna? Or you want to choose plans of Krishna? If you choose plans of Krishna, your life becomes perfect. And others become happy, you become happy. If you choose your plans, whether good or bad, like Arjuna or Duryodhana, it will end in frustration and miseries. That's what is Gita all about. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much to hear. So, yeah, now you can ask me a question.
See, this is an eternal question. The question is, the God says, I am the supreme and powerful, I created the world. Now, if you have a faith, you trust Jesus, okay, I know that He is a God, He created us. But the question is, who created Him, why He came, why He created the world, why He created us, if He created us, is there only purpose of serving Him?
Yeah, all these questions.
Like a servant to Him. Is my life only just to learn Him, understand Him, serve Him and die for Him?
So that's what we have been explaining.
Then if it is so, then why we need to learn anything else? Why to run the life? How to learn run the life? How to run the basic? Second question is, when we have this, our philosophy is this way. We have this philosophy of life in our Hindu culture. Whatever. There is no Hinduism.
The
Krishna is for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
The question is, why these other religions, their thoughts, why this confrontation, if there is one
book?
God?
My book? Yeah, I can understand your questions.
Can you please repeat the question first?
Yeah, the first question is, there are many questions in that one question. It's not one question. But precisely, I was talking many things in this seminar. Why we have to serve God? Who is God? Who made this creation? And because you came in between, so I discussed many things before that. So that was pretty much solved here. The common sense by knowledge of Gita, 2nd, 3rd, 4th chapter, Krishna explains existence of soul, existence of Himself by common sense. And He does that. And that I explained. So that was first question all about. Now the second question probably is more important, because there's so many religions, everybody's talking different things, and we have this thing, no? But the point, you know what Gita is doing? Gita, there's so many religions, and then conflict. Islam, Christianity, Hinduism, Zen, Tao, Mao, or whatever, Kabbalah. Oh yeah, thank you for that. So there's so many religions, there's fighting. Why they are fighting? That's a question. Because they don't understand the science behind religion. So, sometimes minus one and plus one. They're contradictory, no? So, nursery child, he'll say, minus one, that's wrong. And the teacher will say, come on, you know, I've done PhD, I know that minus one exists. And he says, you're a fool. Because he doesn't understand the science, he's a child. So, for him, it's contradictory. Under root of minus one, what do you say for that? When I was a child,
Let me finish. The question is, He is the one who created everybody, correct?
Yeah.
If He is a God, He created all the humanity, not Christians only, Hindus only.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Even Muslims.
Yeah.
If they are confused.
Nobody is confused. Confused, we all are. Hindus are also confused.
We are all confused. Why don't He give that wisdom again to all of us now, so we don't just waste.
Yeah, that's why He spoke and gave Gita. Gita is science, it's not religion. It is science of religion. So He is explaining science. By understanding Gita, you understand Islam, you understand Christianity, you understand Hinduism perfectly. There's no conflict. I was also in this problem, and that's why I wrote this book, Crazy Ideas. This is a crazy idea, no? Everybody is conflicting. If there's one God, and why is there so much confusion? So I read Quran, I read Bible, and I read Buddhism, I read Tao, I read everything. And after understanding Gita, I could understand with this perception, everybody is saying the same thing. Why are they fighting? Most of the fight is due to political reasons. It's not due to religion. most of the fight, whatever is happening. If anybody understands proper science, there is no conflict. All religion says to love God is the aim of life. Christianity says no. So love thy Lord with all thy strength, all thy might. The Ten Commandments, Islam means surrender. The word Islam means surrender. And surrender leads to love. What about Taoism, Maoism, and there's so many things. Everybody, the concept is the same. Details might differ. Processes might differ. But once people understand the concept, everything becomes okay. So in this book, I have dealt with this question, religion. The conclusion is, people don't understand science. God is providing science if people don't want to hear what He can do. He is trying His best.
So let us see. We are the mini computers and He is a server. Right? He controls everything.
Oh, I can understand your point. The point is, we also have free will. It is not, we are not puppets.
He created us in that way.
Yeah.
He created
why
he created the free will.
Yeah, so the question is, why is giving us free will?
Right.
That's the question. And the answer to that, it comes in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gives us free will because He wants us to achieve the goal of life, that is to love Him. And without free will, there is no question of love. He could have been a tyrant, He could have made everything, but then you don't love Him. You become robots. And then it doesn't satisfy our soul. So to give satisfaction to soul, He creates free will. And He allows you, choose me, develop love for me, then you will be happy. So He allows us to have free will. Otherwise, we are robots, no love. And we lose the chance to become.
See, if you see all the politicians in the whole world, all the politicians, they also feel like they are devotees, they are Christians, they are devotee Christians, they are following the right path. In their own sense, they are doing the right thing. Even the Muslims who are fighting right now, they are falling because their jihad is...
Well,
to God,
because they don't...
For God.
No, but they don't understand science. Good Muslims... No religion teaches hatred. This is all wrong. Yeah, he's right. I have read Quran. I was so impressed by Quran. So impressed. Like Prophet Muhammad, he's always talking of peace. Always. There's no question of violence. In fact, when they were fighting with his Makkah and Medina, so the Prophet Muhammad captured the enemies and people were saying, kill him. Prophet Muhammad said, no. Leave them. Peace. First rule is peace. That's no religion teaches. Every verse after word in every religion is leave lust, leave anger, leave hatred. How can religion lead to hatred if so many injunctions are there in every religion? You leave them. It is all political. It is all human
so
things.
How can the religion now stop all these things happening? Even in his time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Fine. You know.
Stop the Mahabharata.
You know what?
He did happen.
No. You know what? You know what happened? Somebody asked God, "Why don't you stop all this destruction?" So God said, "See, I don't destroy. You are sufficient to destroy yourself. I don't do anything. I made good. You did it bad. What
no,
can I do?"
He's blaming us for doing things, but now he says on the other.
He is not blaming you.
I am not me.
To blame
in
himself.
General.
Yeah.
But he said, "I'm the creator. I'm."
He is helping us to understand. See, he is helping us to understand. We are doing going on wrong path. Suppose mother and child is there, and if child starts taking drugs. Then what mother is going to say? Child, you should not take drugs. You are on wrong path. Child might blame mama. Mama, you are bad. Because he is a child. When he grows up, then he will appreciate mother. Yes, she stopped me from bad things. She's a good mother. So we are child. That's why we don't understand why God is stopping us. Why God is saying, you don't do this, you don't do this. When you mature, when your consciousness becomes elevated, when you understand God, then you understand He is most merciful. But for that, consciousness has to elevate. Like for example, I'll give you an example. Like a small child, 1 year, 2 year old child. Can we explain 1 year, 2 year old child what is happening between girlfriend and boyfriend? You can't do. It's impossible. You can talk anything. At the end of your discussion, he'll say, "This is uncle, this is auntie." No, you can't, because his mind is immature. So when he becomes adult, automatically understands. So Gita says, I begin this talk by this. Some things are beyond science. Some things are beyond common sense also. When your mind becomes mature, it can understand everything.
Let us think that I am the best person, I am religious, I am surrendered to God, I go to his beckoned or...
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And the other person is really bad, what will happen to him? He goes to 84 lakhs, yonis.
So,
what happened to him after that? So question is, he created all these yonis, yoga, I mean these different forms, he created Bhagavad, which we don't know where it is.
No, it's like that. It's like that. If a child does something wrong, mama beats him.
Right.
Why? To bring him on right path.
Right.
This is like that. God gives, when you're wrong path, God gives you sufferings. He's the cause of all causes to bring you on the right track. But before that, he gives you knowledge. If you don't accept the knowledge, then how do you treat him? Slap in that.
We'll take a couple of more questions. So that everyone else can have a chance.
Yeah.
Also, and then
we can call back.
What is rebirth?
What is rebirth?
Soul and rebirth.
Simple. Soul and body are different. We just talked about that. At least scientifically also we understand we are not this body, we are soul. Soul is always eternal. Body dies. Just like we sleep and we forget ourselves. And we get up and again we remember ourselves. Sleep is an advertisement of death. Similarly, death. You die, you take another body. When you sleep, you have the same body. You forget yourself. When you die, you forget yourself, you take another body. Simple.
So the soul is eternal.
Soul is eternal, yeah. Soul is eternal. It's very simple.
Soul, it can't be burned.
Nothing can happen.
Only nothing. The body
changes.
That's when the person dies, the soul takes another body.
Simple.
What goes with the soul?
Soul, yeah. What goes with the soul? Your deeds and your mind. Your mind. Your mind is with the soul. Mind goes with the soul. Whatever you think, your thoughts will go next life. Soul is thinking, no. Your thoughts will go next. That is why all scriptures, they say, thoughts are more important than objects which you are surrounded with. Now we are focusing on objects. Is it, I should have this, I should have this, I should... What about your thoughts which you'll carry? And that's what is Gita all about. It's training your thoughts.
Your thoughts become your actions and your actions become your habits.
Yeah, that's what I was talking, yeah. So that's what is rebirth about. Mind goes with our thoughts, so you have to train our thoughts. That's our real wealth. This is not wealth. You might be poor, but who is wealthy? Wealthy, morals we learn, you know. Wealthy person is that person who has good character, who has good thoughts, no? Otherwise you're not wealthy, you're poor. That's why Gita Krishna says, everybody's poor who doesn't have proper thoughts. They're not wealthy. They might think themselves rich, but they're poor.
How can I have a good control over my thoughts?
Good
because
control?
I know bad thoughts are...
Yeah, they'll come themselves. They'll come themselves.
Sanchita and all these kinds of things.
So Krishna provides...
The thing is like, the root cause is like, I don't have control over that.
So that's what the process was, Karma Yoga. Karma Yoga means actions which will control your mind. If you chant the names of God, have knowledge. See, if you see thorn by a thorn. You have heard that? Remove thorn with a thorn. If you want to get rid of poison, you need another poison, antidote. Thoughts can counteract thoughts. So if you want to control your thoughts, you need some higher thoughts to get rid of lower thoughts. Otherwise it is impossible. So this Gita will provide you higher thoughts. And then you will be able to leave your lower thoughts. And then when you chant God's name, but the point is when you get higher thoughts by this knowledge, by this book, it will go off again, no? By chanting God's name, it'll go inside your soul. So you need both knowledge and God's name.
Tell them there are books here about something. Hmm? Do you want to take
them? Oh yeah, just can you just hold on? This there are some books with me. You got later. Anyway, before people go, there are some books with me. This is Crazy Ideas I Just Told. Which is talking about all these ideas. Like we are asking questions.
Are they available at temples?
Which temple?
Are they Krishna temple?
No, this is I have written.
Yeah.
So
you've written this book yourself?
Yeah, yeah. This Crazy Ideas.
Are you selling it or are you giving it out?
Huh?
Are you selling it?
Well, I need some donation for printing.
No,
that's thank you very much.
Yeah.
And this is one book, science, because I preach to scientists. My job. Hmm? my job is to speak to scientists, and because I am a scientist, and it's fun. So there is one book, Science Fails to Explain Life, where I'm talking about how science is incapable to give even definitions of life, origin of life, what is concept of life according to our scriptures, what is consciousness, all these things we are talking about here. And this is one book, Mighty Efforts. This is about what I was talking about, Gita, everything, but in little much details. It's details. And then we have this, what's that? Where is that? We have these two CDs, one in Hindi. I was talking about Gita, entire Gita I have summarized here. You can read, if you understand Hindi, this is Hindi. Every verse I have explained, slowly developed a theme, 700 verses. You can hear this and understand this Gita properly. And these are some English lectures, you can have this. So, before anybody goes, you can have this. I think it's pretty much done, no questions. You got that? Yes. But this is not working. Probably you can speak, I can repeat.
What happened? It was working.
Yeah, it's maybe battery died. It's running on battery.
Okay, you can tell. You can speak.
Yeah.
Yes, you can speak like that. What do you want?
One each.
So no, first you get the book.
Okay, fine. Yeah.
I was just curious, on your thoughts on why did Krishna pick Arjun to share this?
What he said?
Why Krishna picked Arjun?
No, why not somebody else?
Yeah.
Something special
yeah.
about Arjun.
Yeah, I started in the beginning. I gave the answer because Arjun was very intelligent. So to speak Gita, you need an intelligent student. So Arjun asked almost 14 to 20 questions. If we would have been in place of Arjuna, oh Krishna, thank you. Gita finished. So he picked up Arjun. He told Arjun, and Arjun was in friendly relationship with.
Smart.
Yes, he was very smart. You read Arjun. He was. So he picked him up.
The best. I don't know how to say it.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
You might keep cutting me off.
Yeah, Sabyasachi. Yeah.
Archer.
So he was focused, no? Focus.
Yeah. We all need to be Arjun.
Yeah, like him.
So
yeah.
We need to be Arjun.
Yeah. You're right.
But,
yeah, Krishna says, no? Yes, Yatrigeshwar Krishna.
Good, but Karna was good too. He tried to tell Karna.
He was good. But he didn't understand.
He didn't understand.
You're right. Yeah.
So, that's okay. So, when you die, your soul with good deeds go to another soul.
No, another body. Another body.
What happened to that body? Again, you have to go through.
Body's finished, no?
The body is gone, but you have a new life now, right?
Next body.
So you go through the whole process again, and then you die again and get new body again.
No, until.
What is the purpose of creation of this whole universe?
Until we develop love for God, we don't understand Him. We are here. And this is simple to understand. For example, if you don't know me, then I will not invite you to my house, no? Is it? Once you know me, I'll invite you. So if you know God, if you love Him, He'll invite you to His house. Finish. Everything's finished. It's all explained in Gita. It's there. We might not see it, but we can't deny its reality, no? I'll tell you, humans are very egoistic. Science has become like that. We planet, we scientists, we can understand everything.
No, it's not true. The truth is...
Yeah, it's happening like that. Because...
Scientists, they're actually defying God now. They're trying to say, yeah, we can create humans, we can do that.
No, this is not a good idea.
No, I've watched Asian.
It is not true. I've watched scientists are not against God. Scientists are trying to find out what the truth is. So don't say that every scientist is a fool.
Yeah, no. No, listen.
Scientists are not fools. He's a scientist. He's not a fool. He's trying to understand God. I'm a scientist. I have studied it.
I've studied both scientists and religion.
Okay, we can stop here.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have, my name is Pankaj, and we organized this on behalf of DFW Temple with Swati Ji. So she chaired the whole thing. I know she could not join it. So I want to thank DFW Temple for providing the space and facility and their support. This, we could not have done it without their support, this facility that they have provided. And I also wanted to share in the sense of time that this is not it. This is not 2 hours is not it. What also happens in addition to this, and of course he comes once in a year, so we get his association.
You can invite to temple.
Bhakti Vraksha.
No, your temple, Dallas. Right?
Yes. So what happens is that in each of the areas, like Flower Mound or Louisville or Irving